Good evening, everybody. How y'all doing? I tell you what, this is an exciting time to be serving God. You know, especially the word we've been getting that's been coming forth. You know, it's like he's pulling out the same thing he did with the children of Israel in Egypt. It's like he's pulling us out of bondage to all of man-made traditions and all the things that we've been doing over the years. He's pulling us out of it, and I'm thankful for that because we need it. If we didn't need it, he wouldn't be doing it. And he'd have never did it time. And it, you know, that's one time he did it with the children of Israel, but he did it many times. You know, and I'm thankful that he's still doing it today. Amen. You know, I'm thankful for it. You know, I'm going to talk about a few different things tonight. The first one's going to be, you know, how many familiar with maintenance? You know, we have vehicles. Anybody who has vehicles or boats or anything like that, we're familiar with maintenance. Well, you know, there's a reason why we do maintenance to them. You know, and, you know, we call it maintenance, but it's really preventative maintenance. It's to prevent things from happening, that unforeseen things, things that we're not prepared for. And you know, who knows that God wants us prepared for everything? You know, and that's why he has his word, for us to go to his word, and he warns us of things to come. That way we don't have to deal with them things. Because you see, a lot of things that we go through in life is self-inflicted things, things that we bring upon ourselves. But if we read the word of God, you know, them things is going to happen. They're going to happen, but they should be minimized. We should keep them to a minimum. And, you know, I know in my life, I have to work on that. There's some things I need to keep at a minimum. And whenever I realize that I made that mistake again, this is what I tell God. Say, you know something, Lord, I made a mistake. This, I did it again, but I'm not stopping until I get this right. That way I can go on to the next day. Because you see, there's other things that we got to deal with. It's not just that one, but we got to get past that one first before we can go over to that next one. And that's what I tell. I always tell him that because I want him to know that I'm not giving up until I get past this one. Because once I get past this one, I know I have something else I got to get past. Preventative maintenance is maintenance that is regularly performed on a piece of equipment to lessen the likelihood of it failing. It's performed while the equipment is still working so that it does not fail unexpectedly. See, it's done while it's working. You know, it's not after it breaks down. But he works on us before that happens to try and prevent us from happening, prevent that from happening in our life. So that's something that I have to work on. And this is what I call it. I call it inspect, detect, and correct. Inspect, detect, and correct. Now my question is, and I ask myself this first, who's doing the inspection? All right, so let's see. Let's see. Paul addresses this. Let's see what Paul says about it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. This is what Paul said. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself. For I am conscious of nothing against myself, yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. You see, we can't inspect ourselves because we're going to miss some stuff because we're going to be partial. I know I am. I'm very partial. But you know something? Whenever God inspects it and he brings it to our attention, then we have something. We can't do nothing until that happens. Once that happens, then it's on us. We have to correct it. You know, and that's what I want to do. I want to be somebody who's willing to correct something, an issue that's going on in my life, because whenever I do that, I'm able to help not only me and my family, but the people around me and the relationships that God puts me in. You know, this is kind of what we do. This is what I do. I treat it like shopping. You know, everybody been shopping. Don't even pay to ask that question. You know, if you go shopping, you know, and you find yourself down the aisle and you're like, man, what am I doing down this aisle? And it's like the Word of God, right? There's times where you go in the Word of God and it's like, man, what am I doing here? Why you have me here? And while you're shopping, you see this big bottle of eye cleaner there. It's just sitting there. And you're like, you know, I don't need this, but I know somebody who does. I know somebody who needs to get their eye cleaned out. And it's the same thing with the Word of God. A lot of times we read in the Word of God, we run into things, and right away we want to look at somebody else. But there's a reason why he brought us there. First, we need to examine ourselves. We need to make sure that it's not an issue with us. Because I can tell you this, if you find that big bottle of eye cleaning, you say, yeah, I know somebody who needs that. Well, you keep following God, he's going to take you around the corner to the chainsaw to chop the log in half to get it out your eye. Definitely don't want to drink that stuff. Wouldn't be good. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about is being comfortable. Everybody's comfortable here? Y'all in good shape? Well, that's not the one I'm talking about. It's good for us to be comfortable. But what I'm talking about is spiritual comfortable. Being comfortable spiritually. Everyone wants to be comfortable because it's what we crave, right? We crave to be comfortable. Everywhere as we go and do, we want to be comfortable doing it. Everything. But you know, God didn't call us to be comfortable. He called us to be uncomfortable. So that means we're going to go through some things. So if we're going through some things, I don't want to make it more complicated than what it is. So I want to make sure that I'm allowing the Word to check me and to inspect me. Right? That way I can make the necessary adjustments, because we know it's going to be tough. No matter if you're a believer or not, it's going to be tough. The thing about it is, being a believer, we already know we won. We just got to go through this. We already know we won. Comfortable, being in a state of physical or mental comfort, contented and undisturbed, at ease. See, whenever we get comfortable, if we stay there too long, we get complacent. And complacency is a dangerous place to be, because you take a lot of things for granted. It leaves us vulnerable to pride or a false sense of security. I'm good. Right? You ever been there? I've been there. I'm good. Come to find out, you walk around the corner and you're not doing so good. Because the devil done slammed something at you and now you don't know what to do. So we have to be careful that we're not comfortable. There's some in here, no doubt, you're comfortable. There's some that are uncomfortable. My duty today, right now, my responsibility to everyone in here is that whenever you leave this place, you examine yourself and make sure that you're not comfortable, because you don't want to be. The Bible instructs us to continue to grow. Let's go to Ephesians 4:15. We're going to read four verses here. Not in Ephesians. Read one in Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Colossians 1:9-10. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Thessalonians 4:9-10. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourself are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. So they were loving each other. He said it there. They were loving each other. But he didn't tell them to stop there. He said, you excel even more. Love each other even more. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Complacent. Pleased especially with oneself or one's merits, advantages, situation, etc., often without awareness of some potential danger or defect. Self-satisfied. So whenever we're in that spot where we think we're good, we're headed for disaster because something's about to happen. Because we're not good as we think we are. I know I never was. Every time I thought I was good, something come up and I realized I wasn't so good. Because in a lot of times, not a lot, every time, I didn't spend the necessary time in God's word or in prayer. Because if we're doing that, we're going to prevent a lot of things from happening in our life. Them self-inflicted wounds. That's what I call them, self-inflicted wounds. Because it's something that we could have done to prevent that from happening. Complacent. We become lazy and unwilling. When we are confident in our Bible knowledge, how often do we step out in faith? In order to step out in faith, you got to be confident. I know I do. I got to be confident of something. I got to pretty much know that it's going to work. Well, here's the thing about God. We already know it works. We're not chancing anything. You know, we don't serve God on chances. We serve God on facts. We already seen it. Now, many times God had to remind us of, you know, we're going through something and we have doubts about it. And God has to remind us of all the stuff that he done brought us through. He does that with me all the time. You don't remember what I brought you through and you're doubting me now? Have you lost your mind? As long as we trust him, it's going to happen. We know that. But yet, we still have them times of doubt. We're going to look at some things here. Some examples in the scripture. It's not in our nature to live outside of our comfort zone. It's not. We always want to be comfortable. Always. Well, you know, there are some folks in the scripture that God used. They wasn't comfortable at all. And it showed. And that's what we're going to go. I want to go over some of them with you. But, you know, the thing about being uncomfortable in God is we can learn to be comfortable being uncomfortable. Because he did it in the scripture. David did it. Moses did it. Esther did it. The list goes on. All the folks God used, none of them was comfortable. Just read the stories. They went through some things. Let's go to Joshua 1, 5 through 9. Let's see if Joshua was uncomfortable. Let's see if he had some doubts. This is after Moses died. So Joshua, God's getting him in position to take over the children of Israel and lead them. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in the valley in the land of Moab. Wait up, where am I at here? 6 through 9. Oh, I'm in Deuteronomy. No wonder why. Man, I'm like, boy, this don't sound right here. The land of Moab. So the Lord encourages Joshua. Let's read it. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If that's a motivational speech right there, if there ever was one, right? Could you realize what Joshua did after that? He went on to defeat over 30 armies. Our children, we don't need motivational speeches. We just need to learn the word of God and see what he's telling us to do. Our children don't need motivational speakers. They need to hear the word of God. We need to connect them with God, and that'll be the motivation to bring them through. Here's some folks who were called out from being comfortable. Exodus 3. Moses was comfortable as being a shepherd, yet through him God saved Israel. Gideon, Judges 6 through 9, the youngest man in the smallest clan in the weakest tribe, yet through him God saved Israel. Esther, comfortable as queen, yet through her God saved the Jews. And she was called out by Mordecai. I mean, Esther was in, imagine you're queen. It can't get any better than this, unless you're the king. For me, anyway, and the ladies won't feel that way. I don't think you want to be king. But anyway, you know, so she's comfortable. She's comfortable. And so Mordecai had to call her out on it and say, look, you better get with it because all your people is about to die. And you've been put there for this specific reason, no other reason. So she did it. She got called out and she heard the call. Well, I'm going to tell you, God calls us out every day to stand up for him and do what he's called us to do every day. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. Now, this is Moses, all right? God's calling Moses out of his comfort zone. And Moses is doing he's saying everything he can to get out of it. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Sounds familiar to me. God didn't come up with all kind of excuses. I can write a book on them. But let's see what Moses said. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Who am I? I said that. Who am I? Who am I to get up here and share your word? Exodus 4:1. Moses wasn't done. That was just the first one. Then Moses said, "What if they?" You ever said that? What if they? What if they say this? What if they don't like me? What if they don't like what I said? "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Exodus 4:10. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the past." You see, he's covering bow ground. Neither was I in the past or now. Nothing changed. Moses was a character, boy. "I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." So Moses is doing everything he can to stay in his comfort zone. But God's like, "Look, I done heard them all, Moses. I'm just going to listen, but in the end, you're going to obey." Exodus 4:14. So God had enough, right? It says, "Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, 'Is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart.'" So God got angry at Moses. So if he got angry at Moses, I know he got angry at me a lot, because I had a lot more excuses than Moses had right here. There's one more. Exodus Exodus 5:22. So after all of that, Moses ain't done yet. He got some more left in the tank. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, "O Lord, why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Why did you send me?" So Moses had a lot of complaints. He was doing everything he could to get out of his comfort zone. And how many times do we do that? You know, we want to stay in our comfortable spot. We know everything that's going on around us. We know everyone. We know what we're doing. You know, our occupation. You know, there's different things that God will take us to get us out of our comfort zone. You know, we should be willing. Reason why we should be willing, because that's when we grow. That's the only time we're going to grow. If we're comfortable, we're not going to grow any, because we're going to stay right where we're at. But God wants us to grow, right? He wants us to get out of our comfort zone. Remember, we wasn't called to be comfortable. We're called to be uncomfortable. Let's go to Exodus 14:10-12. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Leave us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." You see, that's amazing to me, that the children of Israel can say something like that. This is what they're telling God. I'd rather live in Egypt and all of that pagan stuff and deal with all of that than live a season out of my comfort zone. After all the stuff that God delivered these folks from, and they were still doubting him. That's incredible. And it brings me back to me. After all the incredible stuff that God done for me over the past, I still have them moments where I doubt God. How can I do that? How can we do that? We'd rather sit back in our comfortable chair instead of taking the word of God and applying it to our life and doing our part in the body. Because remember, we're part of a body. Doing our part, the part that we've been called to do, we'd rather do that than make a difference. Because that's what we should make a difference. On a job, in our home, everywhere, as our family, we should make a difference. You know, are we doing that? Are we making a difference? Remember, this is preventative maintenance. Maybe you feel like you're good here. Well, this will be good notes for you to take down. That way, you'll prevent yourself from getting in that situation. You know, it's easy for us to stay in our comfort zone. And I'm going to keep repeating it because I want everybody to get this, including myself. I need to hear this too. Again and again and again. It's easy for us to stay there, you know, in 10, 20 minutes, 30 minutes in prayer, reading the Bible, 10, 20, 30 minutes a day. You know, that's our comfort zone, right? But is it enough? That's my question. Is it enough? Is 20 minutes in prayer enough a day? Is reading the Word of God enough for 20 minutes? I know for me it's not. There's a time where I did it, but you know there was a time that I grew up. And whenever I started growing up, it didn't do for nothing for me anymore. I needed more. Prayer time, 20, 30 minutes, it used to be enough, but it's not enough anymore. You see, God calls us to be uncomfortable. That was comfortable to me. I'm good with my 20 minutes, I'm good. You ever thought about shaking things up? Getting uncomfortable? Uncomfortable is changing up your routine. Taking time away from my favorite TV show. Taking time away from social media. Spending more time in prayer and studying and testing everything. You know, we should test everything. We got so accustomed to not testing things. You know, I tell people, I've told people in the past, you know, that they should test. It doesn't matter if it's their pastor, you should test it. Well, you know something? For a long time, we didn't test nothing that pastor said. We just took his word for it. But you know something? We should test it. We should test everything he says. Because that gives us that time. It'll give us more time in reading God's word and learning. And it'll make sure that he's not leading us astray. Right? I trust him, no doubt about it. But you know what I trust more? I trust the Word of God more than anybody. And we should, because if Pastor falls off the wagon one day, you know where we going? We going off the wagon with him. He done told us that many times. So I tell folks, you test your pastor too. You make sure that he's telling you the right stuff. Because he could be leading you astray. It don't matter if it's your pastor. Pastor's not the head. Yeshua's the head. We're not called to be the same, but we're called to be different. You know, whenever you step in a building with your coworkers or with your family, are you different? Or you just blend right in? We shouldn't try and blend in. We should try and be different. We should never get satisfied with where we are. It's about going deeper with our Creator. We cannot go deep if we're doing nothing. We should be doing. What should we be doing? And who should be doing it? That's the question. You know, because we all have a place in a body of Christ. Every one of us has a spot. You know, but we tend to focus on four. Well, don't you know the scripture said them four, the evangelist, the teacher, the preacher, they're not the most important ones. But you know, the church has a tendency to put that as the most important position. Well, the Word of God doesn't say that. It's the parts that we deem unnecessary is the parts that's more important. Think about it. There's some parts You know, I'd rather be without an ear than a stomach. Right? Wouldn't you? Let's look at 1 Peter 4:9. We'll see what the Word of God says about what we should be doing and who should be doing it. He says, be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He says, each one. He didn't leave anybody out. Each one of us has a special gift. And it's our responsibility, not only to ourselves and to God, but the body of Christ. My responsibility to everyone here is to operate in the gifts and callings that God called me to. And if y'all ever see I'm not doing it, then call me out on it, because I need to be. I need to be, because I should be doing it. The excitement of growth, right? It's exciting to grow. If you think it's not, just watch the kids. They're so excited. I know my three kids are. The other two are done growing up. They're not excited about it anymore. So I can't use them as a gauge. But my three kids are, especially Juju. She's excited. She's ready to grow up tomorrow. Have you ever lost your excitement for growth in the knowledge of our Creator? Now, that's something to be excited about right there. And we should look at the kids and pull from that, because they get excited about growing naturally. That's the same excitement we should have about growing in God and the knowledge of Him. We should be excited about it. I want to be more excited about it, because I know what it does for me. It gives me everlasting life. You know, I got to keep growing. I have a responsibility to my Father to keep growing. If I don't, I'm going to be held accountable for it. The thing about growing in the knowledge of God, there's a foundation to growing in the knowledge of God. We can't grow in the knowledge of God without this foundation. We're going to take a look at that, and it's in Proverbs. Chapter 1, verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So what's the foundation? The fear of the Lord. Without the fear of the Lord, we're not going to grow in the knowledge of Him. You know, I think about the fear. You know, I read this scripture many a time. I spent a lot of time in Proverbs. And, you know, folks will ask you, you know, you serve a God and you fear Him? I don't understand that. And I say, well, you know, it's a godly fear. Well, I was thinking about godly fear a couple of days. What is godly fear? I mean, what's the definition of that? You see, so I compared it to my natural father, right? I remember growing up, you know, I was afraid of my dad. Number one, I was afraid to disappoint him. And number two, I was afraid what happened whenever I disappointed him. Because I remember that leather belt he had, man. That thing was this wide. He only used it a few times. I don't know how I got away with that. But, you know, so I compare it to my Heavenly Father. You know, I don't want to disappoint my Heavenly Father. Because if I do, I get corrected. So it's no different. It's the same fear. It's the same fear. He's my Heavenly Father. And I have a natural father. So it's the same fear. I don't want to get whipped by either one of them. There's a difference. My natural father can't give me eternal life, but my Heavenly Father can. So how much more should I want to obey him? Foundation of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. And he talks about two other things in this verse that are key. He says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But there's two other things you need. Because without these, the knowledge is not going to work. It don't work on its own. He says, fools. Now, why would he put that in this verse? He says, fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a reason he put that there. Because we need them too. We need them. We need wisdom, knowledge, and instruction to grow. Foundation of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Instruction is knowledge from God. And wisdom is applied knowledge. So we need all three. That's why he put them there. They all crunched in that little bitty verse. So you can miss it. I missed it many a times, but I got it this time. That's what counts. I got it this time. See, we're going to mess up, but we just got to keep telling God, I'm not going to stop until I get this right. The excitement of growth is something that's in all children. In excitement, it takes on a level of discomfort, right? Because whenever a baby is born, you know, they getting, while they're inside the womb, they're getting fed by the umbilical cord, right? Well, whenever they get out, they're getting fed differently from a bottle. So it's uncomfortable for them. And some babies actually struggle with that. You know, but the thing is, they don't give up. They keep doing it because they know that they need this milk to survive. So they keep doing it. And then it goes from the milk to cereal. You know, you're putting cereal in the bottle. Then it really becomes uncomfortable because it's hard to get that cereal out of that bottle. But you know something, they don't give up. They keep doing it. Even though they're uncomfortable, they keep doing it. Same thing we should do. You don't give up. Give up for what? What in the world we got back there? We ain't got nothing back there that's going to benefit us. Can't take it to the kingdom with us. God don't want that garbage. I know he don't want any of mine. Then we move on to solid food. Solid food takes more effort. You know, I remember was it Kara? It was one of them. Anyway, they had a hard time getting spoon-fed for the first time. Maybe they all did, but I remember this one in particular because I remember her screaming. That must have been Vanessa. So anyway, but she had a hard time eating out of a spoon. It was uncomfortable to her. But you know something? She didn't give up. She kept doing until she got it. Now I'm watching her, and she's eating solid food out of a spoon on her own, but she struggles with it, right? So I watch her. She'll put the spoon down, you know, and eat like that. But you know something? She don't give up because then she'll grab the spoon and try it again. You know, and my other two kids, they're doing fine with it. So that tells me she's going to be fine. You know, she'll get it, but it's uncomfortable. Remember, God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to be uncomfortable. And now with my older two, I got a place in the bathroom where I mark a line on. Y'all remember this? You mark the line on a wall and you gauge your growth. And I'm doing it with the other two now, and they're excited about it. They like coming in there. You know, Juju's out. She wants to be first, and then Kara comes, and there comes my linebacker, Vanessa. She wants to be measured. You know, so it's exciting to them. Now I'm seeing the fruits. It's exciting to them. They're happy to grow. They're excited about it. And we should be the same way whenever it comes to the things of God. If we're not excited about growing in God, something's wrong. We become complacent. And we need to correct it. We need to get in the Word of God and let Him inspect us and detect the issues that we have, and then we have a job to do, and that's correct them. So I'm going to ask a question. Actually, four. I'll ask four questions. And it may seem childish, but it's a question that needs to be asked regardless. I ask myself this question, all right? Where am I? Am I on milk? Am I on cereal? Am I on solid food? This is where I feel we have an issue here. It's feeding ourselves. That's where we have an issue, because we've been riding on pastor for a long time. And, you know, we count that as time studying, and but we shouldn't. We should. So this is where I feel we have an issue. It's feeding ourselves. It's important for us to feed ourselves. Even though it's uncomfortable, we still have to do it. One thing we have to learn how to do is be comfortable being uncomfortable. We got to get comfortable right there, because we're going to be there until He returns. So we might as well pitch a tent and stay there, because that's what it's going to be. Because we need to grow. And we know that growing comes with growing pains. Feeding ourselves takes times away from doing other things. We can't have a relationship with God based on somebody else's relationship. And you know, you see it a lot, especially in churches. They think because they under so-and-so, I got it. I'm saved. Now, when Christ returns, I'm going to be good. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to be out of here before He returns. What am I talking about? You know? Just like physical growth, spiritual growth should be seen. We should be able to see it in each other. And do we get excited about growing? Do we get excited about other people growing? We should get excited about that. I watch folks in here, and I see growth. That's something I do a lot. I don't know, I everywhere as I go, I watch people and how they react, and I always did do that. I don't know why. I guess it's one of my gifts. You want to call it that? I don't know. Do we measure ourselves from a week ago, a month ago, a year ago to see where we're at? Use it as a gauge? We should. You know, do we still say the same things we did a month, a week, a year ago? Do we still act the same way we did a week, a month, a year ago? You know, that's ways to gauge if we're growing. Because if we're still reacting that way, we need to get back in the Word. We need to ask God to help us, because they got some things that's bogging us down. So we need to correct them. Spiritual growth should be happening in our life every day. Have I grown in the last year? Growth won't come overnight. It takes time, but it still should come. No doubt it still should come, and it still should be seen by others. People should be able to see it, because what it does is it encourages, you know, whenever I see folks growing in here, it encourages me. I'm like, man, I better get after it. I don't want to get left behind. You know, I want to grow together with them. So it encourages me, and that's what it does. It edifies the body. Because remember, we're all in this thing together. We're all separate components, separate parts, but we're in the same body. And you know, whenever I think about the body of Christ, that's what we referred to. You know, who is Christ coming back? Who's Yeshua coming back for? He's coming back for the church. Well, who should the church look like? It should look like him. So if it don't, we're in trouble. So I want to make sure that I'm doing my part. And again, if anybody ever sees I'm not doing my part, you call me out on it. Because I need to know. I might have issues that I just don't see. Or maybe I do see and it's going to take somebody to confront me to get it corrected. Because we shouldn't get upset and all bent out of shape. They got, you know, we busy. They got a lot of stuff going on. So there's things that can get by us. That's why we need each other. Never let your zeal for growing in the knowledge of the Father stop. Never let your excitement for his word fade. Get excited about growing. Doesn't mean we won't have off days. We're gonna have off days. But pick up your word anyway. Pick up the Bible anyway, even when we don't feel like it. Even when we have the off day, that's the day we should be in the word right there. If I'm going to pick a day to be in the word, that's going to be the day, my off day. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11 through 18. 10. Yeah, verse 2. We'll start at 10. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand, stand firm. Therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You see this armor he's talking about? You know, armor's not comfortable. It's hot. It's heavy. It's hard to move around in. It's hard to see. It's hard to hear. Armor's uncomfortable. And that's what God called us to be. There's a reason. There's reason behind everything with God. Don't you like that? It's like peeling back an onion. I remember somebody said that one time. Like peeling back layers of onion. Well, let's see what he meant with that. Let's go to Hebrews 6. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure, steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. There's a reason why the arm is heavy. He don't want us moving. He wants us anchored. He wants us anchored in his word. Romans 8:14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's why he don't want us to see, because he wants to lead us. We can see a lot of things, a lot of distractions out there. But he says, look, let me lead you. I don't want you to see all the stuff on side of you, because you'll get sidetracked. And that's what happens. We all know it. You know, if we're looking at him, at Yeshua, we're not going to get sidetracked. It's whenever we take our eyes off of him. That's whenever all these other things interfere with us, with our thinking. Because remember, it's a spiritual warfare. The warfare is right here. It's not physical. I'm glad it's not. I'd be in trouble if it was physical, man. Go to John 10:27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's why he don't want us to hear. Because he wants us to hear his voice, not all this other stuff and this chaos. Who's going to be president? I mean, you hear it. You hear it every day, especially if you watch the news. They got so much stuff going on the news. One of the ladies down there where I do work at one of the lodges, every time I go there, she has on Fox News and all these guys. I'm like, man, how in the world you watch that? She said, I don't know why I watch it. I said, that's all that stuff. It just gets you discouraged. She said, I know. But they still like to hear it. I want to hear encouraging stuff, me. Yeah, I do a good enough job discouraging myself. I don't need nobody to help me. So he doesn't want us to listen to all outside influences. He wants us to hear him. The armor was not designed to be comfortable, but to protect us. That's what it's there for. We need to be uncomfortable. Now I'm going to share this next part. This is the end of it here. But this guy here is a primary example. I mean, it's the best example you can get whenever it comes to Scripture. Somebody being on this planet and being uncomfortable. You can't get a better example. And that's Yeshua. Let's go to Luke 22:44. Says, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood. Falling to the ground. our Messiah went through a period of extreme discomfort. Extreme. Matter of fact, he didn't want any part of it because he told his father he didn't. He was so far out of his comfort zone that his stress level was maxed out. You know, I never thought, whenever I read that, I didn't think he literally sweated blood, but it can happen, and it happened to him. The medical term is called hematohidrosis. It's a rare clinical phenomenon. Rare. The capillaries in his body bursted, causing him to sweat blood because his stress level was maxed out. He didn't want any part of it. In spite of this extreme level of discomfort, he stayed in prayer as long as he could. And he followed through with his father's will. But yet we have these small issues that we struggle with. Small. And we got issues with fighting through that. Yeshua is our example of how to live uncomfortable. He's the example. You know, there's some good ones in the Bible, but it doesn't compare to this one. You know, Paul did it. You know, the apostles, Peter, they all lived in discomfort. But nothing compares to this one right here. This is the one. This is the one that saved us all right here. Peter didn't do it. Paul didn't do it. Yeshua did it. And I'm thankful that he stood the course. And that's what I want to do. I want to stay the course regardless of what I go through. I want to stay the course. Because I know in the end I win eternal life. I get to spend eternity with my Father in Yeshua here on planet Earth. So let's stay the course. Don't let these little things sidetrack us. And we can do it. Don't think you can't. We can do it. The proof's in the scripture. When you're feeling comfortable, take one more step beyond it to stretch yourself. You get in that spot, just take one more step. Don't stay there because you'll get complacent and you'll be in danger of the tactics and the schemes of the devil. So just take one more step. Get out of your comfort zone for a season. Let's not be like the children of Israel. You know, they said they wanted to go back. We don't want to go. Nobody in here wants to go back. What are we going back for? There's nothing back there. So whenever you find yourself there, you're feeling comfortable, take one more step. And I guarantee it'll pay dividends in your life. I guarantee it will. Well, that's all, folks. I'm not a good closer. I know y'all figured that out by now. So I just pulled a line off of the Bugs Bunny program. Yep. So y'all have a good night. Love y'all.